one and only agenda item this morning is the agri-market. So we'll go through the bill. And as we do so, members at the appropriate time will assign time to articulate issues. You may proceed. Yes, Honorable Member.
So it's on clarity. Today we are only speaking to the submissions that have been submitted by other people. We are not as a committee going to deal with the causes that we want to deal with.
That is correct, sir. We'll deal with the submissions and see how far we get. But if we have to be done with the submissions in 10 minutes, we are using the Formula One. Then we proceed and see what else to do in order to put the time. But today is just the submission. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning to Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, GM, official committee. Good morning to the Chairperson, members of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister, colleagues from Public Works. Chairperson, I want to start by indicating that when we put out documents for public comments, there are very few comments that come. We have received comments from around 13 organizations and individuals collectively. Most of the comments revolve around technical drafting issues. To a large extent, we've addressed some of those. Some of them are clarity seeking, and we've responded to some of those comments as well. And the comments we received from the Chief State Law Advisor were all addressed, and the Chief State Law Advisor concurred our final submission. So, in our presentation, we'll take it to clause by clause in terms of the comments that we received. Just very quickly, we received comments from the Department of Higher Education, the Office of the Executive Mayor of Cape Town, from a professional, Fred Weber, from the State Law Advisor, Western Cape. We received comments from the Board of AgriMark itself, from another professional by the name of Greg Sartz, a professional by the name of Johan Leitz, from two organizations that deals with alternative construction. One is from Ikaya Fuel Power Systems. The other is United Fiber Cement Company. We received comments from Mr. Aaron Kruger, who is from Southern and is considered a bridge expert. From David Chandler, a professional, and a Mr. Ngobo, who is also a professional working for ESCOM. So briefly, those were the comments. We'll take it through the comments now. I'll try to summarize them, and they just make it a bit complicated. I'll read it through so we can get a better understanding of those areas. The first comment from the Department of Education, the comments revolve around the name of the bill. The name AgriMark South Africa is a French term which basically refers to alternative construction technologies and systems. Now, it has a global ban and is known globally within the industry itself. Even British have an AgriMark in the UK. The initial thinking was to keep the name AgriMark because of the brand. It is known in Africa. It is known in it's known globally through the associations and the international federation. So the comment by the Department of Education is largely revolved around the name and suggests that the name be changed to a more appropriate English name. We've addressed this comment, but indicated that the name will remain unchanged. Similarly, we received a comment from the Executive Mayor of Cape Town that speaks to the definition of non-standardized construction-related products and states that it is vague, with particular reference to that to the kind of products have not been mentioned in the bill. Now, you appreciate that in the construction industry, there's a plethora of materials and systems that could be regulated. And we were of the view that we do not want to regulate every single product or system. So it was decided that those products and systems that are to be regulated will be mentioned separately in a regulation and not mentioned directly in the bill. Still under clause 1, to comment by Mr. Fred Weber revolving on the definition of a competent person. When we use the word name as the word competent person, we're largely extracting from the built environment provisions. But we've included now a definition in the bill that speaks a competent person, which means a person who is qualified by virtue of his or her experience and training. The on clause 4, the state law advisor of WSTK suggested that we move the definition of non-standardized construction related products under clause 4 to the clause 1 of the definition. In legal drafting terms, normally you will define a term that particular set in which it's used in. But in this case, we've concluded that it might be useful to actually move it to clause 1, so we've agreed to move it to clause 1 and we've done so. Under section 5, there was a comment from the Board of Agri-Mark. The board was concerned that we use the word value for money. Now, the term value for money comes from current Agri-Mark documentation. And we maintain that in the bill. And the board correctly indicates that it does not have the competence to determine value for money. And then we did a further investigation that the understanding, general understanding of value for money would probably mean or be interpreted as being cheaper than what in the market. And in certain cases, that may not necessarily be the case. Because a product may be slightly more expensive but much quicker to react. So we disagreed we would remove the term value for money. And Agri-Mark also provide the inflation to use and then manufacturing. The under clause 6, the executive director raised the issue of the role of Agri-Mark in marketing certified construction related products. Now, the role of Agri-Mark is to certify products that are developed by the marketplace. Agri-Mark cannot play a role of marketing any product or any number of certified products because it will be giving that particular product or products competitive edge over others. The marketing of the product is the responsibility of the manufacturer or developer. And accordingly, we maintain that Agri-Mark may create an enabling environment where such products could be marketed or by the producer itself or the developer itself, but it cannot market a specific product or system or its own. The professional Mariola Sars, there was speaks to the issues of a single system for testing and assessments that could be with internationally suggesting that there will be a single system for testing, and we said this is not necessarily the case. But there is a reciprocal relationship. It is not practical for us to include this in the bill. That reciprocal relationship exists at an international level in terms of the international agreements that all of the other testing organizations have signed to, and we felt that it was not necessary for inclusion into the bill. Johan Leit, excuse me. Johan Leit is a security consultant, and we believe that the major comment that has come through, I mean, you will see as we go down, relates largely to the security industry and speaks to health and safety issues, and not directly to the issues of what Agri-Mark is dealing with. So the various comments that he has made, for example, that we need to use CSI for 9,000 numbering of pages, etc., we've indicated that these comments do not apply to the Agri-Mark bill. And as you go down, you would see that in most of the comments, it is indicated it speaks of fire issues and security issues. The chief state law advisor and in subclause 6 raised a concern about the powers of Agri-Mark ability to acquire and dispose of immovable assets. So what we've done there is we've moved that particular clause as part of powers of agreement in the book. So that addresses the comments raised by the chief state law advisor. Under clause 7, the chief state law advisor once again argues that we need to include under the issues of offences to include entities. Now, the bill seeks to identify the person to include a company incorporated, and therefore we found that when you refer to a person, you refer to a legal person as a human being, as well as any other legal entity. So that amendment was not. Thank you. Maybe I should have stated that at the outset. The comments that we're speaking to were in regards to the previous version of the bill. The revised version of the bill, all clauses were basically moved on that because of the revision that we effected in the bill. Sorry, I should have said in our statement of the resolution. That was the first round, but even when we come to section 15, it goes back to section 14 of the basketball. Then there was an issue raised by the Kaya Future Systems on the proposed 3-year validity of evidence certification. And was concerned about the fees and recertification process after 3 years. The recertification process will not be changed. It is a status quo entity certificate renewed every 3 years. And it was agreed that we would need to maintain the status quo. there was a similar proposal by the professional engineer Mariola Sparks, who spoke about the need to make amendments as it been required. Now, what is argued in is that the 3-year period is based on the global best practice. And likewise, it links to the earlier comment by Carl Fuchs about future systems that the reason for the 3-year interval for reassessments is based on the best practice. The comment that she first makes is change in national standards while dealing with non-standard product systems. Now, the argument that we've advanced is given the holistic approach to the assessment, changes to standard aspects of the system of product could improve the performance of the product as a whole. So that was the argument advanced. Now, the chief state advisor of Western Cape, she has made under clause which will now be 14.4, an argument regarding the investigations of the investigation that the minister may request with regards to the board, and cites a number of cases that argues against the investigation and require certain general principles of apply. Now, our detailed unit, Mr. Mokena, can give you further details on the matter, in that the legal unit has been out and investigated this area and realized that much of the comments related to the commission rather than if we intend to address the items in terms of an inquiry. So the case that arose were largely for a commission and was equally considered in the process. Do you want to answer the statement?
That would be correct, Chairperson. We looked at the case laws and we found that they were not particularly relevant to the issues that were raised in relation to the investigations intended in the bill. So, yes, they were
particularly relevant to right to privacy, but they were not relevant to the issues addressed in this case.
Sorry. I mean, go move on, but most of the comments there are related to the same point. Move to page 9, subclause 17.1. The bill was very correctly referenced here, and I speak of a state law as a present case. This was corrected. Then the next point on the clause 18, Fed Weber raises his concern that they may that is, the bill is not clear in terms of the decisions making an approval process of the board. We found that we are currently sufficiently covered under section 18 and 19 of the Act, and when the decision of the board is covered by clause 6. We acknowledge that if there is any gaps, we can address these gaps that may emerge through a regulation. The next point picked up by the Chief State Laws of once again the drafting matter, and this speaks to the reference that certain subclauses should actually become paragraphs rather than become paragraphs. We concurred with this and we reflected that under section 18. Under section 20, it speaks to the issue of a performance agreement between the board and the CEO of AgriMark South Africa. And both have quite an argument point that there needs to be further clarity in terms of the bill, providing how the CEO will be measured in terms of performance by the board. Now, we have a view that these performance agreements will be determined by the processes. This is not necessary for the board, because once you still in the board, the measure will be for flexibility and will be determined by the policies of the board and will be determined by the board. And the performance agreement itself will have its own nature that speaks to the condition of the culture. The subclause 22, once again, the Western KG said, Lord, advances the argument that the in terms of remuneration, these needs to be in terms of the EPSA guidelines. And under normal conditions, the EPSA guidelines apply to government components and institutions of the state. They do not apply to Schedule 3A or Schedule 2 public entities. The remuneration in these organizations are determined by the board. So that could not be affected. The next point was raised under clause 22 by Mr. Edwin Kruger, who advanced the argument that we have an employee of the state. He suggested that we speak to organs of the state, so it accommodates government departments as well as public entities, and we've requested that change accordingly. The next point was by the Executive Minister of Cape Town, spoke to the issues of fees and whether there would be an exemption and waiver of fees. The fee will be determined by AgriMark, Chairperson, and it would be determined on a cost recovery basis, and the bill allows for the waiving of fees under specific conditions, and these conditions will be determined by AgriMark through a rule or through regulation. The second issue, the next issue that was raised on this clause 24.5 is once again by the Chief State, the State Law Advisor of Western Cape. He speaks to the application of provisions of PFMA and clause 24 worldwide and needs to be assessed. He speaks to the issues of auditing, and it is not clear whether AgriMark would be registered and would be required to be audited. The PFMA requires the state. And we couldn't, we indicated that it will comply fully with the PFMA in this regard. So once again, the State Law Advisor of Western Cape under clause 27, it speaks about the indemnity issue of board members, and we've addressed this matter and we've revised the bill accordingly. And you suggest that the fees that Arimat is to charge for the service that is offered be approved by National Council. Now, it's mentioned earlier that these fees will be based, largely based on a cost recovery process, not necessarily based on making a profit. So it does not necessarily need to be approved by Treasury. The comments by Agrimark South Africa Board itself, which speaks to Agrimark undertaking technical assessment of the product. Should the test be satisfactory, the product is approved as fit for purpose, iterated in accordance with the certificate. And the concern that was raised by the board here was that when Agrimark certified the product, he certified in terms of the composition of the product, in terms of the inputs of the product, and the way the product is iterated and put in place. Now, to a large extent, Agrimark, and once you have a product in place, the developer has licensees. It's similar like a franchise system. It goes out and releases the product. And Agrimark, at one point, was, through operations, certifying these licensees. Now, that is not a role for Agrimark. Agrimark only tests products. The reason for that is the licensee can use the product incorrectly. And if that is the case, Agrimark can be liable. So we've removed the agreement. In fact, it was actually the problem, but we've addressed that to ensure that Agrimark does not deal with licensing, it will only deal with the product itself. If the product is rated incorrectly, then the responsibility then lies with the developer of the product. So the developer of the product must ensure the licensee is the product as for the certification process. The last comment is from United Fiber Cement. He also referred the same issue, largely the issues of licensees, and we've addressed this issue of licensees where we said Agrimark is unempowered to approve licenses. Under clause 29, we speak to the minister's powers to regulate. The executive may have kicked on basically about the argument that they've used. It is unclear, it's too broad, and that the minister can regulate any area. Now, the intent behind regulation is to bring in clarity on a matter that may be perceived to be unclear or there may be uncertainty. We will only regulate in those areas. We do not want to specify which areas the minister will regulate because we'll be limiting the power of the minister in that regard and limiting the areas in which we can regulate in that regard. There's some of the general comments that come through. There was one from Entire Future Sisters. They were raising concerns regarding the issues of the international union licensees, issues of liability and the practical day-to-day systems and requested a meeting. We addressed that this will be addressed administratively by Agrimark South Africa. We discussed the matter with Agrimark South Africa. The next was by Mr. Nkobo. I think his comment was not related to the bill itself, but related to processes by AXA. So it didn't affect the bill. There was a comment by Mariela Sars, who is a professional, who advanced the argument that this should possibly resort under the Ministry of Science and Technology, because Agrimark develops new products, innovation, etc. The most important role of Agrimark is that it helps to regulate new technology in the construction industry. And it is the role, and it's the Minister of Public Health's responsibility to regulate the construction. Therefore, we have a firm view that Agrimark South Africa should remain with the Department of Public Works because of its regulatory role. Now, the last comment, the second comment was by David Campbell, who spoke largely about his inputs and it being ignored by senior managers at CSIR. I think there's a point for him to express some of his frustrations with the process. We've taken note of the issue that he's raised on SAB and that I understand in quotes. He's made the argument that IC and CSA as VA should be part of the process in guiding technical committees. We've noted that and that's something operation that Agrimark will give effect to. He was concerned about the technical qualifications of practical experience in the point of Agrimark staff. I think the administrative matter, and I think AgriMark as it is well resourced, correct capacity, the correct skill, so we don't have any issue in there, and some of this cannot be regulated, but we have in the world spoke to the skills and competencies that's required. And you speak about unannounced head inspections. Now, in terms of the regulations, AgriMark will be visiting over a period of time all sites with products, new products have been developed. We'll look at the manufacturing side as well as the side where the products are being used to ensure that they've been complied with. The last of comments were from the policy branch itself. It was our own colleague that actually gave the floor. Many of the comments were on drafting issues which we can accept to. And then the last set of comments, Chairman, is from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. We've addressed all of the comments by the Chief State Law Advisor. In particular, I want to raise that the Chief State Law Advisor raised the concern about the collection of fees and the concern that this may come in money as well. We've tested this with the National Treasury, and we've concurred with the department that this is just going to fall part of money as well, and the Chief State Law has then concurred. So all of the comments that we have raised has been addressed. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Members, we have been taken through the bill and the comments received and the responses and the engagement there too. The opportunity for comments, questions. Honorable Masambu.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think we should just ask, because when I hear that this thing has been revised, it just raises the question to say, I think also somewhere they said it's revised. We have received the first bill, which was not revised, and we didn't look at a revised bill, as far as I know. And I'm not sure whether with this comment or this input were also based on the revised bill. And if there are not any other things that have been added on the revised bill, that people wanted to put him to have an opportunity to do so on the revised bill. So that's the first thing I would just want to check. Chairperson, with regard to the regulation, I just want to check also because I hear...
Just a second, Honorable Madam. For ease of the engagement, perhaps we should grant the department an opportunity to respond to the remark that you have just made before we go into a substantive discussion. Any data?
Thank you, Sir Person. Sir Person, the first version of the bill went out for public comments, was gazetted for public comments. And gazetted for a period of 30 days. The comments have been received after gazette, where the ones that we went through, and in certain cases, we have fitted changes to the bill. Following our consultation processes. The comments that you have is on the gazetted bill that's received. We've given it set to the comments that we received as part of the consultation process, and the bill has tabled one critical. So the portfolio committee should be having the latest version of the bill. The only difference is that because I was speaking to in terms of the comments, I was referring to Section 14, which should actually be Section 14, it was the result of the revision of the bill following the consultations. And that is the revised bill is what is with the portfolio committee.
Honorable Masambu, is there more clarity?
Yes, I think I'm still not sure whether are we talking about the consultation and inputs. Because to me, there is a consultation, you consult, and then while you are doing the bill, now we are talking about inputs that people have given. That's how I understand it. Is the revised on based on the inputs that we are dealing with now, so that I can understand that? Because my question was to say, if the revised revised bill was not based on the inputs that were now. It was based on the gazette and then people responded or people gave inputs on the previous one before the revised bill.
Everyone seems not to be here. Honorable Masango, when you refer to the now and the revised, Deputy Minister?
Basically, the protest that we have in front of us, Chairperson, to be honest, the protest to Parliament would be one that the Parliament would gazette for public comments an earlier version of the bill, okay, and then we would receive for public comments, and we would receive a series of comments. In this case, not so many. Sometimes it would be much more. This document that was presented now was a document reflecting all of the responses, the written responses that we got from members of the public, and indeed from within the departments and elsewhere. And then that the right-hand column indicates how in this bill that is now being tabled to this committee by the Speaker, how in this bill we have responded to the public comments that we've received. Okay, so this is the bill that we're working on. This is the bill in front of you. This document indicates how we have responded to public written comments in the earlier draft. And that's why the paragraph has differed a little bit, because a paragraph was dropped, basically, or it was renumbered. So in this document that is presented now, not the bill, but the document, it's referring to an earlier gazetted public comments. I think that's clear. I see other members of the but I'm sort of putting in my shadow that on your part.
Deputy Minister, thank you very much.
Yeah.
I would like to further remind the members that from the Portfolio Committee, we also advertised in various newspapers and called for submissions and public comment, and we received none. So the public has been made aware. We asked for comments from the public through newspapers and other means that we advertised. That process, if memory serves me well, to zero.
Is that correct, everyone?
Yeah. So that's where we are, Bama Sango. Could you go to your second point, and then I take Honorable Sitoli.
I heard the speaker talking about that. We will be limiting the. We'll be limiting the minister in what he wants to say about the regulations. But then how do we say something is going to be in the regulations if we don't want to limit because we don't know what the minister is going to regulate, and if we say it's going to be the regulation again, and we say we don't want to talk about regulation because we limit them, then it gives some sort of a confusion, because you can't respond on that especially to say that. And then the other one is, we said that bill for money was very subjective, and they say it's removed. I'm not sure whether is it replaced with a certain weight, or it was just being removed in its totality. I just want to get that one. Thank you,
Honorable Mtangu, thank you very much. I'm sure we'll need the rejoinder on the issue of the area pertaining to regulation. Baba Sitoli.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, we must thank the presenter for taking us through. But my Chairperson is that the change of name, that is the value, because we cannot say to change the name because of the value. Because I remember when we was changing international airport in South Carolina, I was a cancer. There was an agreement that we are going to, because of the value, but we managed to change it to overcome. Even this one can change it, because we cannot say we can't change the name because of the value. I think we must have another reason, not because of the value. And the other person is that one of fear charged by the agreement South Africa. The involvement of the minister, because if you check, there is no nothing that has been said. What is the role of the minister? Only the court that will be determined about the judging of this. If the term can be clarified.
Thank you, Honorable Sitole. Members, any further comments? Honorable Member Chiken. Utilize the microphone.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just a comment. I actually don't understand this question. The role of Agrima as a Agrima specify the product. And marketing for manufacturing and the developer. Is it not a conflict of whatever it is? Because sometimes, because Agrima was as a marketer, they are doing the marketing at the same time and the developer at the same time. That's where my problem is.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I'm sure where there is a lack of clarity or confusion, there are quite a number of people who will be able to assist us with the areas that are not so clear. May I come here?
Thank you,
Jim. Is the microphone on now?
Let me also commend the department for the presentation that they have made. Mine, I just wanted reasons here on page 5 about the 3-year certification. The certification is valid for 3 years. Is there any specific reasons why we said 3 years and not 2 or 5? What are the exact reasons for having it valid for 3 years? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. The will of our Adams, was your hand up then?
No, Chair, my hand wasn't up, but I'll pose a question. It's on page 15 on the presentation. On clause 10, the remark that the state law advisor, Ayal and the coordinator, the national and provincial governments may use any particular official languages for the purpose of government. And the response, the response from the department said that the department has not adopted the language policy yet. Daar gaan een language policy nog aanvaard worden of steeds verkeerd. Dank u wel.
As part of the interpreter of the Afrikaans, the Constitution has a provision in regard to language and the utilization of language. And in the response of the department says that this has not yet come into force. So the Honorable Member is saying that why does the department not comply with the constitutional provision in regard to the utilization of the 11 official languages?
I got most problem.
Yeah.
Okay, my view of what is cool. I revert back to Honorable Masangu, who has something more to contribute.
Yes,
sir. I think I just want to let the answer, ask all my questions before they answer. So, President, how can we know that AgriMore doesn't have an annual financial report? And maybe just in somewhere, I can't get it, where they're talking about the financial report. Or what is going to happen, or maybe just to get the clarity whether they will be having a financial report. So, President, I'm here again, because I'm just saying we should be. To me, there's a difference between consultation and submission when it comes to the bill. And I'm just looking at the bill from the Deputy Minister. When we talk about consultation, we're talking about the bodies that actually we consulted before the bill. That is captured in the bill. And there is a difference between submission that comes from other people. I was talking on that, not because they're talking about consultation, which sometimes is something different. And there are submissions that come thereafter. So my question was on the submission and not on the consult. So somehow we have to make a difference between bodies that have been consulted and submission that comes not from the bodies that were consulted. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Masang. I think this is appropriate time to take a rejoinder from the department.
Thank you. On the issue of regulation, we provided for the minister to be able to regulate on, if I use the exact I just want to quote from the legislation. We speak largely to the point that the minister may be able to regulate on any ancillary and incidental administrative matter for AgriMark. We have tried to keep the matter of minister regulating the environment as broad as possible, so the minister can regulate any area that may become problematic or non-compliant. Now, AgriMark has a host of rules and procedures that currently are in place that addresses processes of applications, processes of testing, selection of committees, etc., etc. In the event that there needs to regulate any area, we've allowed the minister to be able to regulate it. The argument was being advanced at one point that if we start to identify specific areas that the minister would regulate, we may begin to limit the areas that the minister may regulate. And we may find later on that we may require other areas to be regulated. Now, if I may just use as a mundane example, in building a room, you use bricks, you use cement, you use rhino boards, you use carpet, you use various different types of flooring, you use door handles, you use door hinges, your doors, your window frames, your window pane, etc., etc. We do not need to regulate every single item that goes into a building. The starting point ideally should be from a health and safety perspective and from an environmental perspective. And that's the base from which we will start. Now, you may know that cement, for example, has a national standard, so there's no need to regulate that. There are many products that are already in the marketplace that have step standards. There's no need to regulate those. It's just those areas where we find problematic that we will not begin to list the products that will require to be regulated. That was the intent behind the process, to keep it as broad as possible to allow that.
Through you, Chairman. I think the concern, but maybe I'm speaking for my, the two of us are working in tandem. I'm not sure if you're necessarily addressing the concern, but I'm guessing what the concern might be. The two of us are liberal, so we're very nervous about giving excessive powers to a minister or to government. And I think that the point that Dentile is making is correct, that in legislation, one must always try to resist over-specifying long lists of, I think we all have that experience, long lists run the danger of you omitting something and then exposing you to the danger to say, well, the Act doesn't specifically say that that the minister can make regulations in regards to something that we hadn't predicted. So you run that danger. But on the other hand, I think the point to make is that what it does say is the minister can't make any regulation under the sun. I think that's important. It has to be regulation
regarding any ancillary or incidental administrable procedure matter that is necessary to prescribe for the public implementation and administration of this Act. So the Minister can't make a regulation that is not, has to be within the legal bounds once this becomes an Act, once we've agreed to pass it. The Minister can't make an extra legal regulation. So I think that was a concern. So I think, and I think your correct response raised more concerns than the course. The two of us share a liberal concern that you see that the state will have excessive power. And we do need to make sure that the minister behaves legally. And therefore what is said under 28.1, I think, addresses the issue. But you're the correct. So I just thought, because I think the prosecutor.
Thanks for the elaboration.
From a liberal perspective.
Deputy Minister, I will not be tempted to go down that avenue, whether what you say is radical or liberal or reactionary or conservative. Constitution. Chair, proceed.
Good chairman, thank you. The issue on value for money, the cause was the wording was simply no, it was not replaced with anything else. Because there's no other property that could identify to determine what we want to. We were very concerned about the interpretation. So then the possibility that we may have been concerned was we may be exposing AgriMark to a host of possible legal action if we speak of a value for money in any other term that where there is no perceived value for money, and then you could just have a different issue or anything else like that. The last point was raised on the annual financial statements. AgriMark will be established as a schizophrenia public entity. In that regard, it is to fully comply with the PFMA. In that regard, would have to have, needs to employ a chief financial officer. It would have to be audited annually. And therefore, it would have to, on an annual basis now, use an annual financial statement and the annual reports. On changing the name, chairperson, I think the department understands that. We were also of the view that at one point that maybe we need to change the name to something. We were considering indigenizing it. And there were various thoughts that came through. One was keep AgriMark as AgriMark South Africa and indigenize the subtitle of it. So we, there's no hard thoughts. If there's a need, the committee strongly feels we need to change name, we can very easily do that. We just need to come up with a good name and that's something that we can start to think about jointly with AgriMark. Yes. Okay, on the issues of the fees, the question was raised on was the role of the minister. The fee that AgriMark would charge would basically be based on a cost recovery basis. We thought it's an administrative function that will be performed by the administration of AgriMark that advise the board on what appropriate levels of fees should be. So we didn't assume the minister needs to play a direct role in that regard. But obviously the minister is represented on AgriMark board by a DPW representative. And even the view that comes strongly from the minister in regards to fees, that can be there. I think the concern for us on fees was that if you had persons that did not have sufficient capital and sufficient cash flow to have the products tested, what happens then if it's a good product? And therefore we've allowed for AgriMark to be able to either reduce the fee or not charge a fee at all on its test. But that would have to be determined by AgriMark through a particular process. The next question, the role of AgriMark. Amongst various things, AgriMark's role is to certify non-standardized construction materials, systems, and products. That means if and these products are usually something that doesn't exist in the market space already. So there is no standard for those particular products. So AgriMark develops a set of standards to get a product as to whether it will do what the manufacturer says the product will do. Now we've limited that role to only the testing. Because the product is a commercial product. Some person or some organizations will be making a profit off the product. And if Agrimark has to then market the product on behalf of that manufacturer slash developer, it'll be giving the particular product and developer a market advantage over similar products that may exist, and it might expose Agrimark to various forms of action thereafter. So if anyone develops a product, if someone develops a shirt, it is up to the developer to market the shirt and sell shirts. That's the same principle we've used in this situation. And while an innovative product is developed and assessed, the marketing of product is the responsibility of the manufacturer slash developer. The issue about the 3-year certification and validation period, firstly, that is currently what's been implemented by Agrimark. That's the current status quo at Agrimark. It's based on a 3-year validation period. That mandate is drawn from international best practice, because every 3 years the product is reassessed to ensure that it still complies with environmental issues, the health and safety issues, etc., etc. Joe, is there anything else that you want to say about?
On this particular issue, the 3-year period is a 3-year validity review period. But should the standards change, should the law change in the country, because our criteria is based on national standards. Should there be a change, say for example, the introduction of the brand 284, the South African National Standards on environmental performance of products, then we have to go back and revise our criteria to be in accordance with the national standard. So it's 3 years subject to there being no change in legislation. So you're right, the 3 years is international best practice by the World Federation of Technical Assistance Organization. That's a period that we normally certify products on, because we believe that a product can be good for 3 years, but after 3 years you need to go back and do a comprehensive review of the performance of that particular product to see whether it still performs as per the regional certification. So yes, the 3 years is international best practice, but that's subject to there being no changes in legislation.
Chairperson, the last comment was on the language policy. At the point that we received the comments, our communication unit was drafting a language policy. I know they've been consulting on it more recently. I'm sure it's going to be approved very soon. If it may already been approved, I can confirm that though with the department. But there is certainly a draft language policy that has been developed. But I will confirm that to the chairperson.
Okay. Yes, no, that's right, and I think obviously the department has been slow to develop a language policy, as is required for all departments. But I think the response it doesn't address the concern. Basically, in the original gazetted version of the bill, on page 15, you'll see how we worded it, and what the chief state law advisor said. It's a curious way of wording it. Just rely on what the Constitution says. And so if you look now to the bill in front of us, we've done exactly what the Constitution says. So we haven't used that clumsy formulation, which was originally the gazetted version. What we've done is we've said the Selection Committee must publish a notice in at least 2 official languages, etc., etc., which corresponds to the Constitution.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Parliamentary legal advice. You are in the room, sir. You must end your list. You are very quiet. Otherwise, you will be carried along like passive presence. Comments have been made. Issues have been raised. How do you see the issues, sir?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, members. This is a very technical bill, as the Department has said. And from a legal point of view, there's no, the law that was introduced into Parliament, there's no problems, and I've checked the draft law that was gazetted, and then the comments that we presented, and then as well as the law that was introduced by the Minister, and the concerns have been addressed, and in terms of the Department of Public Works responses, Obviously, the comments from members of the committee will then resolve or revolve around policy issues, which is their domain to argue about. But from a legal point of view, there's no problem. It's 100% in order. Thank you very much. Honorable Masson.
Yeah, I think this is just for interest. You know, I still remember at our strategic plan what Honorable Materi is saying. We did discuss it as well. And I still remember the Deputy Minister said that the agreement which didn't limit them, you know, like concentrating only on the certification. And again, on their reply here of marketing and all those things, they are themselves again limiting themselves that they are not demolished. So remember that issue we say, you can't say this and this and then only to renew certification, but now they are saying they can't market and all those things. And now again, you are actually limiting yourself on all those things and it is now actually more than even before. Because it's an answer. But I also just want to talk about the, you know, even myself, including myself.
Just on the point that you have raised now, Honorable Mr.
I'm not raising a point, I'm just
interested. Your interest is important, but it can't just be left okay. Where you are the only one who raises for interest and there's no rejoinder. I think the critical issue to bear in mind, even when you raise the interesting or point of interest, is that AGMA cannot be a referee in the players. That's the difficulty that the organization has. It has to steer it course very in a balanced manner. Proceed with your other points.
And you must ask and look at their strategy, what they are saying. They are real schools, and those are the things that we're asking questions actually to say, you can't say this because it is not you, but it's other people, and say this product has been in innovation, it can't be you because yours is only to satisfy. So that was the point that I was actually raising on that matter. Well, I can still remember this correctly. But I'm just saying, you know, all of us when we come here, even including myself, agreement South Africa. You know, when I saw the word, I couldn't understand what is this all about. Me. And I thought someone everything this thing wrong. Surprising. And I'll agree with you to say, you know, even I think I don't know how many people in the public really know what this agreement to just to pronounce it. It's just something that we couldn't even read it at all and know it. Maybe it may be good maybe to look at the other name. Because all South Africans we can actually have a name that we know we understand ourselves as South Africans.
Well, perhaps it will have a double barrel name. Agrima Dubulaman. Deputy Minister.
Because I'm interested a little bit in Honourable Madonga's comment about, you see, I think your response is exactly right. Player and referee, it must be a certifier, it can't be a marketer. But we need to market AGRIMA, certainly as the Department of Public Works. And maybe it would help if we change, if we have a double barrel there, as you're suggesting. So then it kind of makes sense as to what it is. AGRIMA doesn't make sense to anybody, but if in South Africa particularly. So we certainly need to market the important role of innovative products in the construction. As politicians, we shouldn't also market an individual product manufactured by a particular private entity or whatever, that would be problematic. But at the same time, we need to market the general principles of an agri-mark type entity to encourage, in the construction sector, innovative materials. I think that was what we were intending to say in earlier hearings around the critical importance of agri-mark as we go forward. It is a bit of an unknown entity, except within the profession. So it's quite reasonably well known, but publicly it's not. And I think that that's the political opportunity I think we have in this bill. As the Parliamentary Law Advisor said, it's a very technical bill, but I think that we can use the hearings to to think about how we give some kind of greater profile. And I like the suggestion that some a number of members that we look at a double barrel name or something like that. Our suggestion certainly from the ministry is that we don't want to lose the reference to Agra entirely because of its international connections and networks, and that's how it's operated and how it's known within the industry. But at the same time, it's too technical a network, too strange a name. That could be a very useful contribution that the committee, apart from other things that the committee could make in these hearings, just to come up with a nice double barrel name or something, 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 brackets, Agrimal South Africa, something like that. But we'll leave it to the poets, like the chairs of the committee.
And another one in the room whom I won't identify. Any further comments, good people?
Thank you.